Shackbaggerly.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Shackbaggerly, all things loose and disorderly, with me, Katie Johnson, and my good friend, Howard Middleton, from the Great British Bake Off. We'll be back with you properly next week, but before then, here's a few favourite moments as chosen by you.
Got empanadas coming up on on Saturday. Oh yes, yes.
Sound like an eruption. Oh bless you.
I've got my empanadas coming up on.
It's you. It's because you've been sitting on that cold step again, darling.
I've got bagels as well. So.
Following up from a listener who kind of got in touch with regards, was it the Amish cookbooks?
Oh, yeah. Taylor said that she was going to send some images. Yeah, because we said, please do, didn't we? And she has. So, as promised, I've attached images of recipes. We looked at one of our well-used cookbooks and found recipes for funeral, stroke, raisin pie, chicken pot pie, shoe fly pie, and I threw in whoopie pies, a local favourite. I'm also attaching images of what they're supposed to look like. Thought you'd enjoy seeing the cover and inside cover to see where the book is published. Yes, Intercourse, Pennsylvania is an actual town.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? So, Sarah, where are you from?
Intercourse.
That sounded like somebody on Dinner Ladies.
Maybe, maybe later, Sarah, but for now, where are you from?
Where are you from? Oh, gosh. I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. Oh, dear. Right. Have we got any listeners in Intercourse?
When somebody says what their town's famous for, so Sheffield is for steel, Grimsby, where I came from, is for fish.
Fish, yeah.
Any ideas? Oh dear.
I was going to say, I wonder which came first, the act or the town, but it's.
David told you that time because we've got a stable door, so the top opens and you can leave the bottom one, which is jolly good because one day we had a delivery, early doors, Glyn was out, and I think I'd made a decision that I wasn't going to put my bra on till, say, 8 o'clock that morning. And so you have a delivery, don't you? So fortunately, I was able to sort of surreptitiously put at the bottom half, so we're okay. Because that's because I'm small. If I was taller, that wouldn't have worked, would it?
I love the way that you've got a specific time for putting your bra on. Do you know, it's funny, actually, you mentioned about bras, because my mum came round, obviously, Christmas and New Year, and she said, I'm really in quite a bit of discomfort with these bras. I could do with a couple of new ones ordering. So we went on the M&S website. We're looking at bras on there, and I'm saying, what do you think of these? We're reading all the sort of description of it. I'm saying there's one word missing from that, and that's comfortable. So, you know, it's supportive and so on, but it doesn't say that it's comfortable. So anyway, we found one, and you pop it into your shopping basket, you know, ready to check out. And it comes up, nice choice, Howard. And it's like, oh, no. And then I put another one in and it says, we like your style, Howard. And it's like, no, they're not for me, they're for my mum.
Now, do you remember last week, Howard, regards St. Columba's relics?
Oh, yes. Didn't we get into a pittle with that? I know.
Well, you're going to love this. Hi. This is Lisa, who asked that question about the relics being returned to Iona. I have a confession. I confused your podcast with Scottish Blethers. It's a podcast by a couple of Scottish tour guides, and they talk about all things Scotland, including Iona. I like their podcast. It's very informative, but yours is more fun. Glad you found some info on it. I've asked them too.
Oh, that's amazing.
So don't you just wish now that that particular podcast has had a question about an old recipe? Wouldn't it be just...
I do, yes. And you know, I don't think they'd be as accommodating as we are. We actually went to the trouble of trying to answer it as if it was the most perfect and natural thing ever, didn't we?
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think they'd look at that question if it was about food and probably go, oh, I think you've got the wrong podcast. Which is not Scottish, is it? That's awful. I'm not very good at it. Well, yesterday, went out, my sister took her to Bridgnorth in Shropshire.
Yeah.
Did loads of walking. Gets home, I had a really itchy foot. Really itchy foot. So I thought, right, take my boots off and take my socks off, you know. Well, I took one of the boots off and my sock was almost, if I'd got a hole in it and I'd been in a muddy pond. It was a strange, strange colour. So I whipped my sock off. I wasn't bleeding or anything, but it had gone right through and my toe was stained. And then I thought, oh. So I looked, well, I put my finger in the boot, thinking it might be a blueberry or something. It wasn't a blueberry. Howard, it was a worm.
Oh.
Oh, it was a it was a dead worm. But I had to get Glyn to get it out because it was just, oh, God.
Well, it would be dead if it's already leaked on your sock.
I know, but I didn't realise that worms had so much stuff to leak.
Yeah. Oh, goodness me.
So check. You haven't got a worm there, have you?
No, I haven't got a worm. I did walking down to the dentist yesterday. Do you know when you put your shoes on or whatever, and you would think, oh, you've got a stone or something your shoe.
Mm.
Well, I only realised this when I was just by the crossing. So I crossed over and then proceeded to have to take my shoe and sock off in the street in order to get whatever it was that was in there. That's fine. Then trying to put them back on again. It's like, I think, my goodness, I've aged so quickly, I can't even bend down to put my shoe in. So, and I'm thinking, I'm there with my bum up in the air. I'm hoping there's no visible crack whilst the traffic is coming past.
Want to put your bike in? We had a maths teacher, Mr. Robinson, his name, and there's one smell I cannot stand, Howard. If I smell it at all, I want to be sick. And it's TCP.
Oh, join the club.
Oh, God, you're the same.
Oh, I am the same. And do you know, there is someone in our flats who thinks at the moment that it's a good idea to wipe down the lift buttons with TCP. It's like,
no. We're a kindred spirit, you and I. That's another thing, isn't it? We are. But I can't be doing with that smell as like yourself. But this Mr. Robinson... He was an older gentleman. He had really greased white hair and obviously thought he would bath, because people do bath in TCP. Well, I didn't do any good at maths because I didn't want him to ask a question because he comes right over next year. Well, I could have been sick on his shoes. So now I wasn't very good at maths, and it's all because Mr. Robinson bathed in TCP. Please, could you see about moles? Because I've got moles. Now, I seem to recall that if I get a man to wee on the mole hill... That deters them, but I want to make
any
sure.
Any man?
Yes, but it has to be a man.
Are you putting an advert in the post office window or something?
Wanted.
Or is Glyn going, is he going to oblige? Has he done it already?
No, because he's not here. No.
Oh.
See,
well, you've got neighbours, haven't you? Excuse me, will you just pop down and wee in my garden?
But have I got the right thing? Because I don't know if I'm getting confused with something else about weeing on a hill, mole hill.
Oh,
I like it when you do that.
It says, I don't think it's human urine. It says coyote, bobcat and fox urine is most widely available to gardeners and homeowners interested in using these products. I presume this is for the garden. They come in powder or granulated form and are sprinkled on the perimeter of the area you wish to protect from pests twice weekly. Bobcat urine is most effective on moles. So you need a bobcat.
Yeah, but bobcats are not in this country, are they?
No, but I think they probably export the urine. If not, there's a business venture there, isn't there?
So as you're coming through customs, anything to declare, madam?
Still delving into my daquas, I had a look in Woman Wine and a Saucepan to see what she'd got in there in terms of more extravagant desserts. And she's really, you can see that she started to pull the stops out by the time she got onto Woman Wine and a Saucepan.
What, the stops out of the wine bottle, Howard?
Oh, yes, absolutely. She gets them in everywhere. Do you know, there's a lovely bit on eggs, actually. I know we digress. But she says here there are many egg dishes that benefit from the addition of a little wine, but only those served at lunch, dinner or supper. I wouldn't add wine to a breakfast egg dish. we're relieved she's not drinking before noon.
Oh, I love that woman. Oh, I tell you, it'd be fabulous if she was still around.
But in her, she's got a section on sweets, hot and cold. Mm-hmm. And I love this, again, because virtually every recipe in here, she's put a French translation after everything so that you can impress your guests. So we've got quiche omelette au quiche. And rum omelette, oh rum. There's a pattern. But then she's got rêve de nonnée,
right.
which she says means nun's dreams. Well, I've never heard of that. So I had to look to see whether there is still... I mean, basically, it's sort of Dario moulds, and she's filled them with canned apricots and straw or strawberries. There's some egg yolks in there, maraschino and kirsch. Uh-huh. We've obviously got some booze going in there. So I thought, I wonder if anybody else has got a recipe for nun's dreams. So I had to look. And obviously, when you're looking for nun's desserts, you come along across religieuse, which are those that look like little...
Oh, little nun, yes,
that
that's
look
it.
Like nuns. Mm. But the most popular one is pet de nonne, or pet de non, which means nun's farts. And apparently, for those who aren't willing to translate it literally, it's known as sort of nun's puffs. But the actual translation is nun's farts. So I've never heard of that.
No, I've only heard of blue nun, and that's it. If you dreamt of a nun, it represents an aspect of your personality that's giving up something they desire, and a nun symbolises letting go of something you want or getting over someone you have romantic interests in. Currented chocolate donuts, coffee and oatmeal flummery.
Oh, that sounds nice. A flummery.
Yes.
Oatmeal flummery. Is it flummery or flummery?
Flummery. F-L-U.
Flummery.
Yeah.
I think it's something sort of lightly whipped or something, isn't it? Oh, flummery.
Right.
Or am I thinking of a flurry? Flummery.
Here you go. Flummery. Meaningless or insincere flattery or conventions. She hated the flummery of public relations. It's not that one. A sweet dish made with beaten eggs, milk, sugar and flavourings.
Is it a little bit like a syllabub then, or a zabaglione or something?
Translate flummery to German. What's flummery in German?
Flummery.
Yeah.
That's it.
What's flummery in Dutch?
Flummer. Hof.
Wasn't he in Baywatch?
Michael Flumerhoff, yeah.
It's either gelatour or onzin. One more. I would have said, what is it in Bulgarian? Because Bulgaria have kindly now tuned in. But, you know, it's if I've fallen on the keyboard.
Oh yeah, it's
Can you
tricky to
what up there?
pronounce.
Don't think you can see. They are.
Oh right. You see, I studied Russian for a while, so I can read a little bit. So brass nikom menti, I think.
Studied Russian for a little while. When did you do
Only
that?
for about, yes. Yeah, it was one of the options for languages in secondary school. So we used to have this guy called Mr. Haywood, who taught Russian, except we had to call him Gespodin Haywood. And Howard wouldn't translate into Russian, so I became Grigor, or otherwise known as Grisha. Yes,
Oh.
so I. Most of the time, all I could say was Yanisnayu, which means I don't know. So,
What is the most expensive cheese in the world? Now, you'll have to help me here with this, Howard. It's Pule. Is that Pule or Pool?
Pule. What language is it? Where is it from?
Well, it says it's reportedly the world's most expensive cheese, fetching in US dollars $600 per kilogram. It's so expensive because of its rarity. There are only about 100 jennies in the land race of the Balkan donkeys that are milked for the pool making, and it takes 25 liters of milk to create one cheese, 1 kilogram cheese. It's from milk from donkeys.
Well, that's what I was trying to follow that because, well, for a start, Peter came in to wave goodbye because he's on his way out, which slightly distracted me. But I thought you said 100 jennies or something.
Yeah, Jenny's, yeah.
Jenny,
Jenny,
it's all right. You
female.
don't need to apologize. Just go. Bye. He says hello.
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 Yeah, Jenny's a female donkey.
Is
So,
it?
donkey. There's not April the 1st, is it? I didn't think they milked donkeys. Hang on. Can you milk a donkey? Can you milk
Not me personally, no. It's not a skill I possess.
I love donkeys. Yes, you can milk donkeys. And this cheese, yeah. So you need 25 litres of donkey milk to make a kilogram of cheese. And it's the milk of the Balkan donkey, and it's crumbly. And
The cheese, not the donkey.
donkey milk? This is something else we've learnt now, I tell you.
know.
Donkey milk doesn't curdle with common rennet. You'll need camel rennet.
It's rennet, isn't it? Is it pronounced rennet? Common rennet with someone
I was gonna say
who
so.
had a pub on a council estate. Oh, she's so common, rennet.
Donkey milk has a sweet, nutty flavour, though not as sweet as mare milk. She can have
Oh,
horse
my
smell
goodness.
and is rich in polyunsaturated fats. Like mare milk, it is comparable to human milk in nutrients and it may be less allergenic than a cow or a goat milk. Good Lord. I tell you, this
Oh,
is.
don't let's get on to the idea that you might be able to buy a human milk cheese. No.
What new business have you created then in this COVID times? Well, Howard and I have an idea. Can you imagine that on Dragon's Den? And we'd have to call it Camel Renee.
So you know, I did that little video. If you're not listening to Jack Wagley, please do. We had some lovely comments on it, didn't we?
We
So I'm
did.
just trying to find one. There we go. So it was Carol who said, "I'm having a terrible day due to one, my phone broke, and two, the corn seedlings I sat out yesterday have been completely mowed down by chipmunks. I'll be putting your podcast on as soon as my phone gets fixed because I need some cheering up. In the meantime, have you any recipes for chipmunk pie? Or how about fricassee?" So I thought, I didn't know people do eat chipmunks. Did you?
Well, I don't know if they do, but that's just being fed up with chipmunks and wanted a recipe. Are you saying to me that you've researched this and people do eat chipmunks?
I have, yes. Because otherwise, this would be a very short conversation. I had a look on Quora. I don't normally look on Quora, do you? Which is where people can sort of go on and ask questions and answer questions.
Yeah.
So there's a thing on there saying, how do you cook and eat a chipmunk? And someone replied, please don't. This is not okay. But if you do, I would suggest you preheat an oven to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Skin the chipmunk, remove the bones and guts. Afterwards, prepare a marinating sauce. I recommend something with lemon juice in it, maybe a little garlic. Soak the chipmunk, give it more flavour. After it's marinated for about 1 to 3 hours, put it on a buttered baking sheet and bake for 45 minutes. Goes on to tell you about making a sauce for it and all sorts. But I thought, do we have chipmunks in the UK? No. I don't think we do, do we?
Chipmunks is a pet. We have squirrels. That's probably that's a similar version.
Exactly. That led me to thinking, do people eat squirrels?
Yes.
Well, yes, they do. So I ended up on a website. And actually, if you place your first order, there's 10% off.
And then it goes into the book itself, and it says the food we eat goes on. We should have a liberal amount of fruits and green vegetables, for they maintain and build blood and bone, regulate the body, and furnish it with roughage. And I've in my head, I've got something covering our entire body with shredded wheat. I don't know why.
Have you? I was thinking of a shag pile rug. Yes, furnishing with roughage.
Oh, dear.
Oh. I don't know how our minds work, do you?
Next says we need food which produce heat and energy, such as starches found in cereals or grains, bread, flour mixtures, and the starchy vegetables and sugar molasses. Go on then, what are we thinking with the starchy vegetables?
Thinking of two potatoes dressed like Starchy and Hutch.
And then it gives us a few useful suggestions. Do you know I'm all for a useful suggestion?
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah.
This is obviously before the refrigerators. So it tells you how to preserve things. It says cheese should be wrapped in a clean cloth, dampened in vinegar, and kept in a cool, dry place. I've never heard that. Dampened in vinegar.
Well, wouldn't that taint?
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
I would have thought so. It's like cheese and onions, all right. But it's salt and vinegar, not cheese and vinegar. Mm. The two, I wouldn't have thought. But you can have cheese with pickled onions. So you do have a sort of pickly taste, don't you?
Oh, a ploughman's.
Oh, I love a ploughman's stew. Oh, I love a ploughman's. Oh.
I haven't had one for ages.
I haven't. Do you still have your piece of toast before you do the podcast?
No, because I was putting too much weight on. Because don't forget, haven't I, on this low-calorie diet. What was it? What's that lovely thing? I've been doing it for 2 weeks now and all I've lost is a fortnight. Yeah. I'm just seeing if they do ploughman's lunch in America.
It's a long way to go, though, isn't it?
Oh, no. Do we believe this?
Is it called something else?
Well, no. It says, where does ploughman's lunch come from? And it says the British English noun ploughman's lunch denotes a meal consisting of bread, cheese, salad and pickle.
It's a made-up thing, isn't it? Apparently it was invented by an advertising agency or something.
Yes. But,
yeah, I knew that.
Oh, Howard. I don't think these glasses are very good. I was going to say to you, do you know it was done by marketing team by the Chinese Bureau?
And then by the what?
By the Chinese Bureau. Because that's what I was building up to say. Do you know it's the well, you'd never believe where it's come from, Chinese Bureau. But it isn't, Howard. It was invented as a marketing team.
It was to sell cheese.
I had a very strange encounter several years ago in Cyprus, and Glyn had gone, I think he'd gone away, I think he had a meeting at the college or something, doing some radio training. He left me by the beach, and I was just enjoying myself by the hotel, and there was a group of Russian ladies, and there was this one little Russian lady who obviously wanted to try out her English on me. So I was in the sea, and this lady was bobbing up next door, and you sort of smile, don't you, acknowledge? And then she goes, English. So she didn't mistake me for a German at that time. Yes, English. And then she tried a few words. And I remember saying to me, oh, are you on your own? No, no. And I don't know why, but I pointed to my wedding ring and said, no, no, with my wedding ring. And she went, ah, prostitute. You can imagine, I was horrified. This word that she came, and that's the one thing she could blinking come out with. I'm going, no, no, no. So I, to this day, I don't know what that means. So whether it's on a different finger, but yeah, I was pointing to my wedding ring. No, no, no. Oh, prostitute. Shall we just start though?
Yeah.
Is this going to be the one?
This is going to be the one that we always hope for, which is a demo that goes smoothly from start to finish. Nothing gets stuck to a pan.
No.
Nothing burns.
Gets forgotten.
Nothing gets forgotten.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've done this now for 7 years.
Yes.
Have we ever had one like that?
No.
No. No. But we always like to say this could be the one.
This could okay. be the one. Yeah. I love these. These are, this is that northern hob again, isn't it? It was right near and right far. So this is right near.
Isn't it's it? Right near.
Add the sugar. Is that right? No. Add the sugar and whisk until fairly thick and creamy.
You wrote it, darling.
I know, but I don't normally do the wafers first. 50 grams of ground hazelnuts. So again, I'm so sorry if you wanted me to have done live and uncensored nut grinding on stage. I did it at home the other day. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that.
In the comfort of your own home. Yes.
I'm sure this is normally a bit thicker than this. Have I forgot? Have I put everything in? I don't know why this looks like it does.
What should it look like then, H?
Well, I always thought it was a bit thicker, like more like a paste, but this is more like a batter. It's going to throw me off my professional delivery, this. It really is. So I'm just going to spread this out. So what I've done is I've put a couple of pieces of baking parchment on these trays. So I'm just going to coax this to the end. And let's pop these in the oven. And these want about, I don't know. Shall we give them about 15 minutes? Right, I'm going to put in here 3 eggs. So I am doing at least egg cracking, if not egg separation. So 3 eggs are going in here, in that bowl. And I'm going to add to that some sugar. So I've got some brown sugar. Oh, I tell you what else I could do. You know those little bowls that we took away that were on here? Could do with one of them back.
There's one here.
Is there? That's brilliant. Did you put a timer on for that?
No.
No? Did anybody else? No.
When did we put it in? Okay.
It's been 5 minutes. Thank you.
What's it supposed to be in for?
What did I say? About 15.
Oh, thank
you.
But you
were actually
listening.
Your oven yesterday in the Talks and Tastes was incredibly hot, so I wouldn't mind having a look in about another 5 minutes.
You know, it's not the same oven, though. I didn't carry it from over here to here. H?
Right, so that's now mixed up into this wonderful kind of coffee chocolate paste, which I'm going to stir in there. Well, I know what I'm not putting.
Oh, no.
You know when I whisk the eggs with the sugar?
Yes.
At the beginning?
Yes.
And I said they need to go like a pale creamy custard.
Yes.
Yeah. With oil. So there should have been some oil being whisked with the sugar and the eggs, like to emulsify it and make it light and creamy. Oh, this is awful, isn't it?
Well, Howard, to be fair, we got through 28 minutes without a disaster.
Also, to be fair, I have got one I prepared earlier. Remember that.
Don't forget this in here.
Oh, yeah, what time are we on?
3 minutes to go. Right, shall we have a look at these wafers? Let's see how they are.
Are you all right?
Oh, they've gone off the paper. I knew they wouldn't go. What's the matter with them? I don't know why. So they should be really nice and round.
A bit better.
But they're supposed to sit nicely on. Oh, I'm really disappointed with that.
It's going ever so well.
I don't know what's the matter with that. I'm slightly. My mum will say after it, oh, I did feel sorry for you. Sure.
This is when I find it so hard to believe that you didn't win Bake Off.
I think actually they've also stuck to the. So what I shall do is this is the point. I mean, they have come out of the oven and they are quite hot, but this is the point at which I could run backwards and forwards. To cool them down a bit. And I'm not worried about it falling off the tray. I don't know what to do with those. So what I think I'll do is I'll just leave those for a couple of minutes to cool. Have we any suggestions? Spatula. Now, the only thing I need to make sure... Can you catch me in a more professional stance? So, as you can see, this is now coming off beautifully. I've got 5 minutes left, have I?
Yes.
To transform this into a vision. Oh, come on.
Sarah, have you got one of Howard's books, please? I'm just going to have a see what page this is on so we can see what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, but this is supposed to look better than the one in the book.
Oh. What page do we know?
No, it's under the section where you're trying to impress people.
Oh, that's what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just going to go and show Claire. Maybe that was the surprise.
That it doesn't look like that. Yeah. Do you know what we could do?
Go home.
We could not bother having one on the bottom. Should we not bother having one on the bottom?
Yes, because...
Yeah, because otherwise we're going to be...
Well, it gets dark, what? 8:15?
Yeah. Right, so here we go. Lovely plate. This is the mochaccino wafer cake. Right,
oh, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the other cake on top. So this is the other cake. I don't know why I'm saying this in different ways. Right, that look. Oh! Oh! Oh, sugar. Katie, this is not the one.
No. Oh, by the way, H, you've probably noticed you've got the words that I sent for the song, have you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And mm-hmm. We're going to have a go at doing. Now, the only thing is, you said, didn't you? You're not very good without your lyric. Well, you've got it. The only thing is that the pitch is a bit either too low or too high. So I was wondering, should we do a cappella?
Well, does that make any difference? Because it still needs to be in tune, even if it's a cappella, doesn't it? You know, it's like when they used to do on Westlife or something, where they'd stand up from the stool when the key changed. And I thought, oh, I don't know if I can do. So we're going up a bit here.
Let me put the tune on, and then we'll see how it goes. But are you ready?
Yeah, which bit... Is that bit to that tune
Right. Tell you what, let's go.
We know with your feedback.
Can you hear
that? So are you saying you're doing that? Both of those lines?
Ready? We are good friends called Katie and Howard. We do a podcast.
Good friends called Katie and Howard. We do a podcast.
I think we've got a delay.
I thought we'd got a delay.
We've got a delay.
That's why I
right.
thought.
I'm going to stop
it. I didn't
know
whether... I didn't know I'm
gonna
you want to come out and go back in again.
Yes. I'm going out. I'll see you in a bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are good friends called Katie and Howard. We do a podcast. Chatting about old recipes and cookbooks all from the past. Our conversation drifts a bit at the end, you'll not always see. So we needed an adjective for loose and disorderly. Shack-wackily, 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 the show you're listening to. So we'll carry on each Friday for the mo. Shack-wackily, 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 thank you. We love what we do. Especially as we know you're listening all the way through. We're up to 16 countries tuning in to little old us. Perhaps don't always understand our accents, not everyone does. But we know with your feedback, it's the laughs and the fun that you like. Stories from our homes, how it mum and how it can't ride a bike. We've known each other for a while, H on Bake Off. At a festival of food we met and hit. Tipped off. We record our podcast every week and love it when you write. From all over the world, our daytime is your night. Dark when light, so thank you for your listening. We made this song. Well, we pitched the tune but used our words. Hope that's not wrong. We want to wish you a happy time. The holidays are near.
Hey, I can't think I'm up or down. I used to be a soprano in the prime.
It's to a year of good things ahead, leave the past behind. Keep smiling, laugh and love, carry on if you can be kind. We'll keep on finding stories on the cookbooks for you, that's for sure. Please spread the word about us, we love that, we love nothing more. Shabbily, 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 the show you're listening so. We'll carry on each Friday for the mo. Shabbily, 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 thank you. We love what we do. Especially as you're listening all the way through.
We are good friends called Katie and Howard. We do a podcast.
Please join us every Friday at 9:20 minutes at last. Wishing you and yours a good one wherever you may be. Sending you our love from Howard and...
And Katie.
Happy Christmas, Katie.
Happy Christmas, H. Find your feet. Oh, no. Too late. Following on from last week's episode where we were chatting about asparagus... I was able to confirm with Howard that the vegetable can indeed grow 10 inches in one day.
That's amazing. I don't know anything that grows as quickly as that. Do you? Why did I say that? I was just trying to sound interested and now I've put my foot in it. I'm sorry.
Maybe not in soil age. Invite your guests half an hour or so before dinner is to be served and offer them a glass of sherry or some spirits. It's either sherry or there's the other ones. Some spirits. Oh, at the end of the meal, serve coffee and perhaps a liqueur. And afterwards, as an alternative to further conversation, what about a game of cards? or showing your guests those transparencies which you took on your last holiday?
I'm sorry, we've got to get back to the dog. I'd rather do that than look at your holiday snaps.
But your transparencies, I love that. I was wondering where that was going, and guess those transparencies, and thinking, where's this going? But yeah, we should talk on your last holiday. Oh,
you used to do that though. I shouldn't say this, should I? Nobody will mind because they'll not be listening. But we used to, when we were younger, we used to have sort of transparency slides, and we had a slide projector, yeah. and it was actually a very pleasant way of sort of looking at old photos and things like that. And my auntie Olive and Uncle Walt brought some shots of their. Their holiday, and they said, "Oh, let's get the projector out. Let's have a look at these." And you go, I think they'd been somewhere abroad. I think it was Spain or somewhere. And that's little Juanita, a little girl who was there, sort of. And here we are sitting on a wall, and you're thinking, "That's a bollock hanging out of my Uncle Walt's shorts." He was sitting, and yes. You could honestly, and you're thinking, just move very quickly onto the next shot. And mortifying.
I tell you, I'm definitely going to go back for the dog. Thank you for choosing those, and we popped in a couple of our own, including the live recording from Ludlow Food Festival and the Christmas song. Oh, it'll be time for another one soon. Well, you could always get in touch to ask us not to. Our email is always podcast@theshackbaggerly.co.uk, and we regularly update our Instagram and Facebook pages too. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening, and see you next time. So, was there any link for our next Christmas song? Little donkey, perhaps? Just don't mention baubles.